Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
And Doug.
Only two things are forever. Love and Liberty Mutual customizing your car insurance. So you only pay for what you need. If anyone objects to this marriage, speak now or forever hold your peace. No, Kevin, no, not today.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Que quieren hacer mi vida de cuadritos. Me liberé de chicas sin escrúpulos. Me liberé de Aurea y Socorrito. Me liberé de Nancy, de Rebeca, de Olga, de Amari, Serga y de Giselle. Me liberé también de Raquel. Gracias a Dios me liberé. Me liberé de Mariela y de Fe. Gracias al cielo me liberé. Me liberé de mujeres perversas que quieren hacer mi vida de cuadritos. Chicas sin escrúpulos, liberé de Aurea y Socorrito, liberé de Nancy, de Rebeca, de Olga, de Amaris, de Gay, de Giselle, me liberé también de Raquel, gracias a Dios me liberé, me liberé de Mariela y de Fe, gracias al cielo me liberé. Todos me insultaban, me decían, mujeriego, no te dejaré vivir en paz, donde quiera que te encuentres te la formo.
Levon. So bienvenido a mi programa de radio. We are on air now from Lagos. Dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. How is everyone today? That was a wonderful selection. Thank you so much. Going back to the roots. Appreciate that, Brother O. I have tonight a very special friend and guest, very intelligent man that I would like to introduce to all of my listeners today. I'm hoping that people call in and ask some questions. Not only is he a realtor, but he is somewhat of a mentor, I would say, for me, and a life coach. Is Brother Gian on the phone?
Yes, I am on the phone. Thank you for that introduction.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I'm so excited to have you on because I want to share with my listeners some of the positive, influence and energy that you have helped me with, you know, some of the things that you've helped me understand, you know, just by having conversations and just by asking questions. So I'm hoping people call in and they ask questions and, you know, you can shed some light on the world around here. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I guess I'm as ready as I'm going to be. Thanks for having me.
Okay. It's my pleasure. It's our pleasure. Let me just ask you a couple of questions, I would say. You know, just to kind of break the ice introduce people to who you are and what you do. So would you consider yourself to be maybe a mentor of some sorts to people?
To an extent. I have work with a lot of new agents who come in now, you know, ask me questions about how to get through certain transactions. And every transaction is different when you're dealing with a client. Every client is different. Every transaction is different. So some things may be the same, some things may be different, but people will call me and they will ask me for advice to help them navigate through their stuff. And normally it ends up being successful for them.
Awesome. So I wanted to have tonight's topic a little bit mixed up. I wanted to talk about the current and future real estate market, and then
okay.
I wanted to talk about emotional intelligence and Revelations 3:17. So I'm hoping that, you know, you can help me, you know, speak to those topics for tonight. What do you say?
Sure. We can definitely talk about those topics. Those are actually good topics of discussion, so I'm all for it.
All right, sounds good. Okay. Well, let me first ask you, so when did you know that you wanted to get into real estate? We'll dig into real estate because that's my thing. It's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a real estate
mm-hmm.
property manager, also an investor. In real estate. So, you know, let's talk about real estate first, and then, you know, we'll dig into the other topics a little bit later.
Absolutely.
Again, when did you know that you wanted to get into real estate?
I can honestly say this. I always had an interest for it. I always had a thing for real estate. Ever since I was a kid, like, I was always fascinated by buildings and houses and how certain areas would be nicer than other areas. And it always intrigued my mind. So ever since I was a kid, I had this real in-depth interest in real estate, but I never knew how to break into it. And someone was just like, maybe you should just become an agent, like that. And I was just like, why haven't I thought about that on my own? And but yeah, that's how I broke into it. And that was about 6-7 years ago. So I've been doing real estate for about, 6-7 years now.
Pretty long time. So you've seen in that 7 years, I'm sure you've seen different fluctuations in the market.
Yeah.
Up and down. So where do you think, what does it look like to you in the real estate market opposed to, those last 7 years? I mean, do you see any changes? What do you think is going on?
Absolutely. I do see changes. When I first got into it, the market was, it was a seller's market, but not really. You know, you have three different types of market. You have buyer's market, you have a balanced market, and you have a seller's market. When I first got into it, it was more of a balanced slash seller's market. The inventory was kind of low, but it was still, you were still able to compete. You were still able, it was still okay for buyers to, not have to find themselves in a bidding war per se for certain houses. It was a lot more houses on the market as opposed to now, where inventory is absolutely, it's dry. It's very low. So it's like really a seller's market. But now we've about to transition back into like a balanced market, and it looks like it's going to transition from a balanced market into a buyer's market. The way that things are trending right now, it looks like with the interest rates being risen and inventory still being low, and people may be upside down on their mortgages as far as equity go, because whatever reason during the COVID, during the pandemic, real estate prices just, the numbers were astronomical. It was just like ridiculous how prices would jump and people would be overbidden, $20,000 over asking price. I heard of a story where someone in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, they paid over $100,000 asking, over the asking price. Like, it was that bad because they wanted to beat out everybody in a bidding war. So you have that thing, and now with the Fed raising interest rates, they're kind of like exercising quantitative tightening versus, quantitative easing when they pump a bunch of money into the market. Now they're trying to actually, like, tighten that, and that is causing, money to be scarce in a sense. And that is going to cause for the prices to drop, and buyers are going to be able to have a better chance of getting some property now.
Okay. All right. Wow. I've never heard of somebody paying $100,000 over asking.
Yeah. I wish I could have seen like a picture of my face when when somebody said that, because I'm quite sure my eyes popped out my head. Like, I just could not believe that gentleman said, yes, man, look, my client, he lost because this guy, he comes and he overbids, like, he $100,000 above asking price. I'm like, that is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Like, how much do you love that house? Like,
it must have been another thing. With this real estate stuff, you kind of sort of got to pay attention to migration patterns, right? So with the migration patterns, you got people, they leave in one market and they're going to another. Like, for a prime example, everybody in California is leaving California to move to Texas. California is ridiculously expensive. Homelessness is off the charts all over the state of California. And that's largely due in part to them not having a lot of multifamily units in California. It's just like they just don't build them for whatever reason. It's just a lot of single-family homes, and home prices are high. It's a lot of politics that plays in the factor that, like, the bureaucracy and taxes and how they tax the dog out of businesses, and it's kind of, like, hard for them to create jobs and make it a competitive or workplace. So a lot of people are leaving California and moving to Texas because Texas is more it's more open. It's more, it's more open. It's easier. It's friendlier. It's a great business community. The state of Texas, when it comes to doing business, there's less bureaucracy, less laws, and they don't tax them crazy. So it's easy for them to pay a decent wage and have a competitive employment market there. So, and the same thing is happening in New York. You have a lot of New Yorkers are leaving New York and they're moving to Philly or they're moving to Florida. A lot of New Yorkers are migrating down to Florida because of the same reason. The taxes are different. It's more of a business friendly environment if you want to own and run a business. You'll see a larger profit margin. So when you take that into context, New York being extremely expensive, like, I mean, we got people paying $900 a month for like a 9x9 apartment. Like they're paying about $1,800 a month for a 9x9 apartment. It's like, it's ridiculous. So you got that when they can just migrate down to Philadelphia, which is an hour and a half away, or they can catch the train, which is an hour away to New York, and they can get more bang for their buck. So you got a lot of New Yorkers who are selling their $2 million brownstones, and they're coming down to Philadelphia or the surrounding area, and they're going to outbid anybody $100,000 above asking price. Because if I can sell my brownstone for $2 million, move to Philadelphia, still get the big city life atmosphere for a lot cheaper, and if I want to go home, I can just catch the bus, the express bus, the train, hop on the highway. It's a 90-minute drive. So for them, they like, oh, we're just going to come down here and get one of these new townhouses for $450,000, and I just sold the same townhouse in New York for $2 million, and of course I'm going to outbid any of the locals because I earn more money because of the pay that I got in New York. So that's a thing that's happening. Like, a lot of New Yorkers are migrating. So that's causing prices to jump, you know, making that market competitive. And what it's doing is making the comps go up. So whenever an appraiser come out and they look at the comps and it's just like, hey, man, well, that house sold for $450,000, even though the asking price was $430,000, because somebody was able to go ahead and pay the extra $20,000. So, like, the migration patterns plays a factor in it as well.
And I think I remember you telling me before, which was really interesting, that people were also looking in the Poconos because it was, like, even, like, people from New York were.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a friend who wanted me to ask him showing some houses out there because he works in New York. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and live over in Stroudsburg. And I'm like, are you serious? He was like, yeah. And I just, you know, go to work and I drive over to take the I-80 and drive into Pennsylvania. And it's almost like a trend. It's like a lot of New Yorkers do it. Whenever I go up to the mountains, I see a lot of New Jersey license plates or a lot of New York tags. Like they go to the Pocono Mountains. It's just, for them, it's better. They get more bang for their buck. They can get an acre of land for the price of an apartment. You know, they can get a 3,000 square foot home with an acre of land for the price of a New York apartment. And these are small apartments that we're talking about here. So they just like, yeah, I just go ahead and take the drive. They'd just rather take the drive.
I mean, honestly,
and that's what they
45,
do.
45 minutes to save hundreds of thousands of dollars for, you know, 45 minutes.
Right. They'll make the trip. They will make the trip. They'll make the trip. It's worth it. So that's the thing that's going on.
Right. All right. Well, listen, we're gonna have another track right now by DJ Legend Brother O, and we'll be right back.
propia conciencia, la clave te va a tumbar. Esto tiene su truquito, esto no es llegué y pegué, esto lleva sus añitos, Rafael, pa' tocarse como es.
hello, hello. Bienvenidos, oyentes. Welcome back. Welcome back. We are on air now from Lagos. Dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Era ahora desde Lagos. Call in now, 516-453-9133. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Again, I'm your host, Alicia Levon, and back to my special guest, the realtor. So what do you go by? Like, do you have a an Instagram name or something?
You can follow me on Instagram. I am on Instagram at JE_realtor. So I'm on Facebook as well. Well, not right now. I'm not on Facebook right now. I had to deactivate from it. Sometimes you got to take a step back and make sure your energy is clean, because social media can dry you out, man. It can rob you of your energy, man. Seeing some of the stuff that's on your timeline, man, it can be a major distraction if you let it. So sometimes I like to take a step back from it and make sure my mind and energy is clean. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram, JE_REALTOR.
Nice. Okay, that's interesting that you say that about social media, because us as, you know, realtors, you know, it's a marketing tool. It's a great marketing tool. However,
absolutely,
part of that emotional intelligence that you have to balance out does, you know, call for you to sometimes, you know, yourself from, you know, the distractions and the outside, you know, drama or, you know, whatever. So that's
right.
Interesting that you said that kind of catapults us into my next topic about, you know, emotional intelligence. But I still, there was a couple of things that I still wanted to ask you about real estate before we jump into that. So I wanted to find out, I mean, we were talking about, we went from, you know, to the market right now, what's going on now. But what we didn't talk about is, what do you project? I know you said that there's a transition right now. So what do you, and you said it's going to turn into a buyer's market. So what does that really look like? I mean, can you verbalize, you know, what the benefits are, some of the pros and cons for realtors with the market switching? I mean, obviously, you know, who are the buyers going to be, and then what that means for us as real estate agents?
Okay. Well, what that means for us is what we'll have to do is make sure our target market would be first-time home buyers, because this would be an opportunity for a lot of people to own a home finally. I would target renters who want to transition from renting to home ownership. I think that would be the key focus, because if we're going to shift into a buyer's market, what that looks like is a lot of inventory will be on the market. There'll be more houses available for sale, and they'll be for sale at almost discounted prices. So instead of you having to pay $100,000 above asking, now you won't have to worry about that. It'll be less competitive. You can probably get a property for $20,000 under asking, because the market has so many houses available for sale that now the sellers are competing with each other to sell their property. Because if let's say I got, you know, a 3,000 square foot home, 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and a house in the same neighborhood has the same thing, what incentive am I going to offer prospective buyers that make them want to choose my house over the house in the same neighborhood? So I might have to, you know, offer seller's assist. I might have to offer a home warranty. I might have to offer to do repairs on a property. In many respects, I might have to just go ahead and take the $20,000 below asking price just to get my house sold. So that's kind of like what that would look like, which would be a good thing for first-time buyers. It would be an awesome thing, especially for those who've been preparing for this opportunity to come. I'm working with some clients right now, can afford to buy in this market and compete at that, and they're just like, you know what, Gian, we're going to be a little bit patient. If we don't, you know, find what we absolutely want, then we're not going to, you know, stress ourselves about it, because we'll just wait for the market correction to happen. And then the market correction is going to happen, then it's going to be like the overcorrection, where that's going to be like a big, big buyer's market. At least that's what I see happening. And a lot of the, you know, experts, like guys who've been in this business for decades, are kind of like saying the same thing. You know, what goes up must it goes down. Like prices, the way they shot up so astronomically high that fast, it has to come back down.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you're right. That's kind of exciting and scary in a sense.
I mean, but the only scary part about it is not having the wherewithal of how to navigate through a transition like that. You know, you got experts and people who it's not their first rodeo. They know exactly what to do, so they're not afraid. You know, every problem that a person has is a knowledge-based problem. You're only afraid of it. Your only fear that you have is because you don't know how to navigate through it. Like when you have the tools, when you have the right information, when you have the skill set, you can go ahead and apply that knowledge to whatever arena that you're in, and you'll be fine. Every problem that you have is a knowledge-based problem. That's the basis of it, because you don't know, you don't have the tools to solve the problem. You don't have the knowledge to solve the problem. But once you acquire the knowledge to solve the problem, you'll be fine. And that's pretty much with almost any aspect in life.
Right. No, that's true. You know what? Before we move on, I forgot that we may have some Spanish callers, or listeners rather. So
okay.
Let me just mention, llamar 516, llamar 453 nieve 1. But anyway. I forgot to mention the number in Spanish. Also, on air, people listening, English callers, 516-453-9133, and press 1 to join the conversation. Precio 1, 2. No, still 1. Precio 1. All right, back to us. So it seems like it's actually going to be quite exciting. For us to go ahead and have this market switch. And it doesn't seem like for us as realtors, and when I say us, I mean realtors, we're not going to have any, it's not going to be any negative effects on us. As a matter of fact, it may change for investors, but we're still going to have those. Now we're going to probably transition our focus from the high-end investors and listings and sellers over to, I guess, buyers now, you know, because of the way it's going to be a buyer's market. So, because, I mean, I feel like I'm finding that listings, like, are kind of slow for me right now. Like, we have, like, 3 listings right now, and they're, like, not getting many offers.
Right.
So it's tough to try to get my sellers, you know, what they want. They're used to that guy who's at giving $100,000 over asking.
Right,
that's not
right.
That's not going to happen for you, you know, sellers. Just let it go.
No.
It's not happening.
No, that's not happening. Nope. You gotta change with the times.
Yeah. And I don't really, at this point, I don't know what advice to give, you know, my clients other than, I mean, because, you know, at this point, it's like, you know, this is what's happening. You give them the information, and if they don't take it or it's not really anything you can do, but you know, I'm letting, you know, people know, listen, there's no activity. Nobody's putting in these offers, these full price offers. Everybody's trying to come in lower than what you're asking.
Yes, absolutely.
Listen, the only thing I can say is lower your price. But then when you lower the price, then
it messes up the overhead.
So I'm like, I don't know what to say.
And it kind of sucks because when they lower their price, it messes up their profit margin, you know, especially when you take into account the cost of building materials materials are high right now due to supply chain issues that hasn't been fixed yet. It's not like we don't have the materials enough that, you know, pump into the market so prices can be low. It's just that the supply chain is messed up, and a lot of people don't understand how supply chains actually work. They think they just go to the store and pick what they want, but they don't take into account, like, the manufacturers have to purchase from the packaging company. Then we got the shipping costs, and we got to factor all that. When you fuel prices as well, they're going to make you pay for that when you go buy that lumber or you go buy that light fixture. It's going to cost you an extra couple bucks, couple hundred bucks in many respects, because of the cost of fuel, that the shipping costs. You know what I'm saying? So all that stuff, it all carries. So when you got an investor who went and he bought high-end stuff, good quality stuff that got added, that got marked up, prices got marked up, so he's trying to recoup that money back and make a profit as well. So when he go to put it on the market, and it's just like, yo, it's not moving, the only thing you can do is lower the price to draw in a bigger buyer pool. And that's another thing you got to put into context as well. The buyer pool. Not everybody can afford to purchase a house at that price point. So the lower the number, the bigger the buyer pool. So, and that's kind of like what you got to do. And the thing about this is the buyer doesn't get to set the price, and the seller don't set the price. The market does. You got to adjust to what the market is saying. So if that house has been sitting for a while and it's not getting any, especially if it's not getting showings, then that's a problem. Because most people, I'm sorry, say that again?
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying that's the first step.
Yeah. So if it's not getting any showings, you know, that's a problem, especially if it's a nice-looking house. A prospective buyer is like, I can't even afford this, so I'm not even going to waste my time to go and ask my agent to schedule us a showing, you know? So
right.
That's how it is. The market determines the price, not the buyer, not the seller. The market does.
Yeah, no, I that's really good information, and I hope that some of these investors are listening, because it's about to do a little switcheroo. And another thing is, like you said, that people just go to the store and you purchase whatever. It's a lost art that people know how to do these things ourselves now. You know, there was a time I remember when my grandfather built our house. I watched him build our house from the ground up. So I find myself sometimes in my investments and I'm putting things up.
The sweat equity into it.
Yeah, I'm putting it in. I am. I'm cutting things. I'm using saws. I'm hammering. I'm, you know, and a lot of things I just naturally, instinctively kind of do, you know. And then there's also obviously Google and YouTube where I find myself doing a lot of things myself now. So it's a lost art. I miss my grandfather who, you know, I know that if he was here, you know, he would do these things. He could build his whole house up, you know, and my dad's pretty too. So I've been around handy people, you know, and then even my grandmother, I've seen her doing her own things from time to time. But, you know, I am around a lot of handy men. So I definitely do appreciate
that's a good thing.
That art in a man when he can, you know.
Right.
Those things. I don't understand it when someone can. I have two sons and I always encourage them to also do these things. Like it's a very comforting thing. You know, to give security to a female or, you know, a wife when you get a wife. I know that when I get married, I want a husband who can do these things, you know, because down and the supply chain thinking about isn't supplying.
Yes.
We can, you know, we can do things ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know? So,
yep.
I admire that in a man. Well, we got to do another track next by DJ Legend Brother O. Be right back.
Que pone a gozar a mi gente latina, mire, que le gusta.
Brother O is rocking it tonight. What's going on? Welcome back, everybody. Bienvenidos oyentes. Call in now. We need some callers. We're on air now from Lagos. Dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time again in Espanol for all of my callers or listeners. 516-453-9133, presione 1. All right. Is my special guest still here?
Still here. I'm still here.
Okay. You are still here. I'm so glad to hear it. We might have a caller, so let's see if the caller's still there. Are you there, caller? Do you have some questions?
I am. I am here. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey. This is Ava Holly, and I also have a show on WBNN, and I always find the real estate topic very interesting, so I'm enjoying your show tonight. So let me share a quick story with you. So yes. For a year now, I've been working on purchasing a bed and breakfast out in northern Pennsylvania. And nice. For various reasons, we had a broker and a private lender, and too long to get into, but let's just say this much. 2 days before we were ready to close, our private lender decided to buy an island in Belize and walked away from the table, leaving everybody holding the bag. So now it is almost a year later, and I'm still trying to fund this deal. I've been to bank after bank after bank after bank, and they just run you around, and they wait. Every bank waits 2-3 weeks, gets all the information they need, and then they say no. So I'm not giving up. I'm actually typing a letter right now to someone else that I met through someone else this past week. But
wow.
It's funny because people were telling me that if it were an Airbnb, I'd have no problem funding it, even though some
not
of the rooms
all.
Can be used for Airbnb. But since it's a B&B, they don't want to fund it. So I don't get it
wow.
because this property is absolutely gorgeous.
Wow. 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 I'm sorry to hear that. That is crazy, man. Just to think when you're about to go to
tell
settlement.
Tell me about it.
And it just did. And it just get wiped away, like just like having the rug pull from under your feet or something like that.
Yep.
Oh, man, that is wow. And I'm quite sure the seller, everybody was just like, okay, cool, it's time to sign. Let's close out on the
yep.
deal. And the funding just doesn't show up. I've had that happen before with a buyer. I'm thinking, okay, cool, we about to go to settlement. We good to go. And the lender like, well, actually, she used her credit card, and it messed her credit score up, so she can't close on the house because her debt-to-income
mm-hmm.
ratio went up. And I'm like,
yeah,
are you kidding me? I specifically told this buyer, don't spend any money. Like, please don't do anything. Like, until we sign on this line and get those keys, don't buy
mm-hmm.
nothing. Don't charge. Don't take any new lines of credit. Don't do anything because the lenders will pull the funding away from you, and
mm-hmm.
it happens sometimes. But I'm so very sorry to hear your story. That is wild,
man. You know what
man.
I find amazing? You know what I find amazing? This property is not a startup. It's not a foreclosure.
Right.
It's up,
it's
running, and profitable. And that's before
oh,
I bring any of my entertainment stuff to it. It's unbelievable to me. I mean,
wow.
I'm going to do a story on this once we get in there.
Right, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You're going to have a story to tell. It's going to be inspirational, too, one of, you know, triumph and not giving up and
yeah.
sticking to it, staying with it. You're going to have a story to tell. You're definitely going to have a
yes,
story to tell,
yes.
man. Staying consistent and persistent and not giving up on
well,
your,
thank
on, you,
you so
know,
much.
Your goal.
Thank you so
absolutely.
Much for having me on. I'm enjoying your show and looking forward to hearing from you again.
Sure, sure thing, yep. sure thing. Thanks for calling. If you don't mind asking, what part of northern Pennsylvania is this B&B in?
I think he unmuted me.
No, you're there, Ava. Go ahead and talk. Yes, go
oh,
ahead,
I'm
Ava.
There. Okay, I'm sorry. It's in an area called Towanda. It's a real heavy gas and oil industry, so they have regular customers, VIPs, executives come in
yep.
from that. And it's not
okay.
too far from Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. So it's got skiing, it's got all kinds of stuff
yeah.
nearby. So
yeah.
it's just amazing to me that this is happening.
Right, right. That's sad. And you said it's an established business that has numbers,
yep.
profit margins, and everything like that. And
yep.
they won't fund it?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
I don't understand that. That I do not understand.
So let Brother O hook us up and we can talk more off air. But thank you
right,
so much
absolutely.
For letting me share
yeah,
that. And,
sure
you
thing.
Know, something of keeping the books there.
Sure thing. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Have a great show.
Thanks, you too. Thanks. Okay, so that was very interesting, and like she said, Brother O needs to connect us on some levels because I have a few ideas as well. But let's try to get another caller in here for my Spanish speakers. Llamar 516-453-9133. Presiona 1. Everybody else, call in, 516-453-9133. We encourage you to call in. Do we have another caller on the line? Next caller?
Faith, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, look, I don't have one Sherlock Holmes clue at all of what you say when you speak in Spanish or the music that Hall of Fame four times great is playing, but it sure sounds good to me. Now, as far as your special honored guest, man, y'all are bringing it in, and it's so much needed, this type of information when it comes to real estate. And I'm fiending to listen to some more. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this announcement, and I'm going to go back and sit in the audience, okay? Can y'all hear me clearly? All right. What I want to say to you is congratulations, Alicia Levine, on your WBNN all-time connection record with your first all-time with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late Hall of Famer.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the work that y'all putting in. Look, I'm also a host. I had a show last night and just completed two out of a three-part series, and the name of my show is We Will Aware You, okay? My tribal name is Huni Baka Tune, third generation from the land of Nuba, and my finished stage name is Master Tar Magic Man Haru, okay? I'm enjoying your show. Honest to your special honored guest. And like I said, I'm going to go sit back down in the audience and listen to the rest of it, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much for that encouragement. Thank you. I'm glad to know that, you know, what we're doing and the show that we have is making a difference for people. So I really appreciate that. So let's get back into it then. We got a lot to cover because, you know, we still haven't gotten into any of the other topics. So we talked a little bit about about the current market, the future of the market. You know, we just had somebody call in about a commercial real estate, which we haven't even talked about yet. I think that'll be a nice topic for another show because we're going to have time tonight. But, yeah, that might be next commercial real estate and ways to get into that as well. But I wanted to ask you personally, how do you avoid being complacent in your role? I mean, we're always, as agents, willing to grow and, you know, ready to get to that next tier of a client. And I feel like I'm in a position right now where I'm not really happy with, you know, the way – I guess my productivity has been in real estate because, you know, at one point when I started real estate, I was a full-time employee working 9-to-5. I was doing real estate on the side. And congratulations to me. I am now a full-time realtor, property manager, and I'm 100% entrepreneur. So I'm now trying to find how to maximize my potential in real estate. You know, now it's like time to make the money, you know, all those 9-to-5 hours that I was doing, you know, for my telecommunications job. I'm ready to move forward. So how do you avoid being complacent in your role?
You know what, that is funny because we can transition into it right now with this. It's having some sort of emotional intelligence about that. Just knowing yourself is being self-aware is the key to having that emotional intelligence, right? Fall into complacency, that normally happens when you have a certain sense of comfort going on. You know, the comfort zone, it feels good, but it's dangerous because it breeds complacency. What it is, like if you're feeling some sort of stagnation, then you, what you have to do is challenge yourself. And in real estate, you're always selling, you know. So you have to do a lot of market, advertising, networking, making sure you know, come into contact with people, having conversations with people, and, you know, building up, you know, that hunger, if you will. Staying hungry is the thing. And what you do that by is, how you do that is, you know, just staying committed to accomplishing your goals. You know, if you have a goal in mind, that's what you absolutely want to do. You have to, you know, it's kind of like this. You have to direct your thoughts and behaviors towards something you want rather than something you want to avoid. You know, so you, instead of trying to avoid the complacency, go the opposite direction of staying hungry. So guide your thoughts and your energy towards hunger versus avoiding complacency. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I think that, you know, that's awesome, man. I'm so glad that you come on, you know, today and allowed me to interview you, because all throughout this whole interview, I'm interviewing you, but I'm actually taking notes. I have a pen and a piece of paper here. I'm really, it's helping me to grow, and you were right, transitioning into the emotional intelligence, because that emotional intelligence is how I'm going to challenge myself and build my career up.
So yeah, absolutely.
You know, quickly think about that, but that's good information. So I really appreciate that. I appreciate you helping me grow in this interview as well as the listeners. You know, so how would you define emotional intelligence if you had to define it in like in layman's terms? You know, because some people's like, okay, emotional intelligence, like, what does that really mean to you?
Well, like I said before, it's really being self-aware. Having that self-awareness and being mindful of yourself. It starts with yourself. It absolutely starts with yourself. Like, you have to be mindful of yourself, because it's like, I don't think you can get to know anybody properly if you don't know yourself properly, you know? So I think it starts with that, you know, self-awareness in part. You know what, especially in terms of relationships, because when you're in this real estate game, you have to have this emotional intelligence, because your client, especially your first-time home buyers, oh, it's an emotional roller coaster for those people. So you kind of sort of got to be the anchor, you know, and anchor them down when they're having their ups and downs. You know, this is the house. This is the one I want. This is the one I want. And when they don't get it, oh, their hopes and dreams, they feel like they just lost everything. And it's just like, you got to be the one who speaks logic to their emotions, you know. So when you're having those relationships with your clients, you also have to be self-aware of how you're feeling in the moment. What's your energy like? Are you high? Are you low? That it starts with that, because self-awareness in part, it gives you balance between yourself and others, which is what you need. Like,
wow.
You have to have that balance, you know?
I feel like that's a really sensitive topic when it comes to, you know, your clients, because, you know, you want to maintain a very professional appearance with your clients, but then again,
right,
you also have to be somewhat of a therapist, and so to speak. And,
oh, absolutely. That's what it is. Like, I find myself all the time talking my clients off the ledge. Like, look, listen, it's okay. Like, we didn't get this house. Basically, I tell every first-time buyer this, every buyer this, period. It's three houses, right? Whenever you're doing a home search, it's three houses. The house you absolutely wanted, the house that you hated, and the house you end up getting. The house you end up getting is the one you were supposed to have. That means it was for you. Because, God forbid, you buy a house and then now you got this buyer's remorse. And I've had that happen where, you know, I'm navigating, negotiating, trying to make the deal work, trying to make the numbers work, getting a good price where it's going to work for my buyer. I do all the muscle work, we get the offer accepted, and a week later, the buyer, like, I don't want the house. I'm like, why? I don't know. I just got a bad feeling about it. So the buyer's remorse happened. And I'm like, goodness gracious. So, of course, I'm upset, right? Because I just did all this work, exhausted some energy to, you know, make this deal work for this buyer, and then they back out of the deal. Like, I mean, in many respects, I have times where a buyer back out the deal like 2 weeks before we go to settlement. Like, are you serious? Like, you really don't understand how much energy I put into this. But then again, that's me putting my emotions in check and having a certain level of understanding about what that person may feel. The person,
yeah.
My buyer, my client, I have a relationship with that person. I have to have a certain level of understanding of what they feel. Let me put myself in their shoes. Let me see how they feel. And that's a part of being emotionally intelligent is, you know, being open and standing of another person. Because ultimately this is a life-changing decision for a lot of people. It's a big, big decision. You know, you got to make a purchase. It's not just a property. It's a place where your life is going to happen. Memories are going to take place here. So those are things that I put in the context, like, okay, this is probably what they're thinking about. And that's helped me to, okay, talk myself off the ledge. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because when you're dealing with people, you have to have an understanding of the person that you're dealing with. And that's, once you have an understanding of the person you're dealing with, it'll be easier for you to navigate the relationship with that person. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's really true. I never thought about that part of it in real estate, that you have to be, you know, emotionally intelligent as well and kind of read the room. And I feel like, honestly, a lot of people aren't, and I think that causes for a lot of unprofessionalism to come into, you know, the industry or a transaction when people aren't emotionally
mm-hmm.
aware of what they're doing, their actions.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
with that being said, how can we advance emotionally? Like, what are some practices that we can, I know you said be mindful, but what really is something that we can actually do as a practice? Because I did a wonderful person, a very dear close friend of mine, he gave me a book, and it's actually called Mindfulness. And what it tells me is to, as I'm doing very minimal task, to just be aware of what I'm doing.
Right.
When I'm making tea, one of the things that when you're making tea, just be aware. That's something that you can do. And then something that's a little bit more intense could be take time to meditate and breathe and, you know, fester on, you know, goals and achievements. So what are some things that you do to be, to advance your emotional intelligence, your ability to be emotional intelligent?
Number one, I'm going to give you a short story. One day, I was sitting at my desk, and I had all these papers on my desk. I had real estate work. I had stuff for I was working as a bank teller, and I had to read over some stuff for the job at the time. I was going to community college, taking some classes. So I had all this stuff on my desk, and I'm sitting at my desk thinking about something that had nothing to do with what was in front of me, right? And I caught myself and I said, why am I thinking about this? I got all this stuff in front of me. And I said, you have to think about the things that you think about. And how are those thoughts that you're thinking about conducive to the direction in life you're trying to go? Look at your desk, man. Like my desk was a mess. And I was just thinking, dang, your mind is a mess. It's all over the place right now. Yo, let's focus on that. Think about the things that you think about. Monitor those thoughts, and you'll be able to better control your thoughts. Like, in an instant, if you're having a thing with your emotions is really your thoughts. That's the basis of it. Your emotions are your thoughts. So if you're having negative thoughts and you're in a negative state, you can switch that by thinking of a positive thought. Maybe think of a family member or a friend who gives you inspiration, or somebody that's funny, or you have the power to change your thinking. So that's one of the things that I've learned myself, that I've taught myself, is to, hey, I can change what I'm thinking right now, and I probably will feel better. You know, it's like the book suggested that you said your friend got you. Take that deep breath. Meditate on that thought. Why am I thinking about this? I don't like how this thought make me feel. I'm going to go think about something else. It's your mind. You tell your thoughts and tell your feelings how to feel. Have that self-control. to master yourself. Self-mastery is always the goal. So that's one thing. Another thing, the listeners right now, everybody can do this exercise, and I've done this before, where you just have an awareness check. Pay attention to your body posture right now. How you sitting? Are you sitting with your hand on your chin? Is your leg stretched out? Is there a sound going off in your house? Maybe smoke detector beeping, or you might hear a dog barking right now. Just pay attention to your surroundings where you have in this present moment where you're just being aware of what's going on around you. Do you hear the air conditioner? Is the ceiling fan going on? Is the TV on in the other room? You know, is the clock ticking on the wall? Just pay attention to your surroundings. And that's how you can be more mindful. That's a mindfulness check. Just take the time, just a split second, 30 seconds, to just really listen, hear, feel yourself breathing. Do you got a discomfort? You got a pain in your back? A sharp pain in your leg? Just, you know, pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what's going on around you in the present moment. And that's a practice we can all do.
Wow, that's amazing. You are very, very blessed, and you're blessing me and my listeners. And I want to say that I really appreciate that, because you are absolutely correct. And sometimes we don't know how to sit and enjoy and appreciate small things in life. So, you know, for you to just, like you said, just be aware of what's going on is a practice that you can do all day, every day, when you feel like your mind is being scattered, so that you could become more aware of self. And once you become aware of self, it trickles down to emotional intelligence and how to be aware of what you're doing to other people and how your actions affect other people.
Yep.
So you're really blessing us tonight. And, you know, I just want you to know I appreciate it. And that kind of makes me think about the final topic that I wanted to talk about, which was not to get too deep into religion, but knowledge and mindfulness. So I wanted to talk about Revelation 3:17, because I was in the park, right, was the same person that brought me this book, and trying to do some of you know, mindful exercises. And it was a night, you know, nice summer night, and we're in the park, and we're, you know, just being aware of the wind, you know, the breeze, and we were aware of, you know, the scenery and the trees, and, you know, we were just being aware of ourselves and how we were, you know, feeling. And we played a song, and it was Jill Scott. I wonder if DJ Legend Brother O has this song, but it was she Jill Scott. She said, "Let's just sit and talk about Revelation 3:17." And he and I were like, "Well, what is that?" And we looked it up, and right then and there, and it says, "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful." Poor, blind, and naked. And we were like, man, that's deep, you know, because it's all about emotional intelligence there too. And there's all sorts of translations. Let's go there. We're not going to go back and forth about that, because, you know, but what I'm saying right now and what he and I were talking about in the park that nice summer night, as we were being aware of ourselves and our actions and being mindful of one another and enjoying the very simple time that we were having, we realized that people are so busy focused on what you have and what you're doing, and, oh, you got this going on. Oh, you know, they might say, oh, Alicia, you know, you got this car, this house, and these clothes and these shoes, you know, and this thing, and you're rich, and they want to take from you. They want to borrow, oh, let me get this, let me get that. But what they don't realize is that they're poor, blind, and naked. Be mindful of yourself and stop focusing in your on me and what I'm dealing with. Focus on you. And that's all the way back from the Bible, you know what I mean? And, and Jill mentioned it in, you know, her song, and that's how it was introduced to me. And what do you, you know, what, we're going to talk about what you think about that when we come back. Next track by DJ Legend Brother O, and we'll pick up.
Cual prisionera perpetua, encontré atada al fracaso, y creyendo en tus promesas de amor, yo te refugié en mis brazos. Recuerdo que al encontrarte, llorabas desesperada. Y hoy que tienes otra vida, ya te sientes liberada. Terminó la pesadilla, mujer, de tu vida fracasada. No cumples con tus promesas de amor, de aquello no queda nada. Olvidaste al carcelero, mujer, que preparó tu escapada. Mas no te guardo rencor, pues fui muy feliz contigo. Solo, solo me queda el dolor, que no lo fuiste conmigo. Acaso ha sido en ti un trampolín de piscina. Espero haberte servido, mujer, y que sea feliz tu vida. Espero haberte servido, mujer, y que sea feliz tu vida.
Performance from this outstanding classic tonight from the great Alicia Levan. And we'll take some callers now, and she's actually listening on this outstanding radio performance. You know, things happen, and she has some personal situations to do, and she did those, and she still was here tonight in remembrance of our outstanding performance and internship. Looks like our first call tonight. And again, Alicia Levan, Especial Telemundo, which means Alicia Levan is outstandingly special in telecommunications. Call number one, you're live right now with All in One with me, Olansky.
Hi, peace and blessings. This is
Especial Telemundo. What's going on, girlie?
Yes, I'm enjoying your show and the information that has been given. I noticed that you had quoted a scripture, and I have one question, but I would like to quote this scripture, if it's okay.
Please do. She's listening. You know, of course, she's traveling right now trying to get everything together, but she will definitely hopefully get a chance to say something to you.
Okay. It's Revelation 13, and it says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their heads, foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 606. What I wanted to ask is, what is the guest's opinion and her opinion on the citizens of the United States? Since the virus, we have had chaos in the realty market, where a lot of American citizens has been losing their homes. Families are on the street. And do you think the government is treating its citizens right by allowing their properties to be sold right out from under them? That's my question.
Wow. All right, let's see if we get Alicia Levan to talk about that. You know, Alicia, are you there to answer Sister Bessie's question tonight? Oh, she's there. Alicia, are you there?
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Am I here?
Yeah, we loud and clear. Sister Bessie, the truth, sir, the wonderful International Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster, and I may ask the question. And, of course, first of all, Senora Especial, Alicia Levan, outstanding
Alicia Levan,
performance tonight.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I am traveling at the moment, and I do appreciate you calling in. I appreciate the scripture. You know, it's very important that we keep the scripture, firsthand. And, you know, today's times, like we talked about today's time and the way things are going. And one of my main focuses is try to bring the youth up into, you know, the scripture in the ways that we used to be brought up, you know, before. So I appreciate that call and that scripture. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you. My show will be on the 6th of January. And peace and blessings, everyone.
Love you, Sister Bessie. Nothing you can do about it. And Alicia, it's good to have you on, right? And of course, you know, the ability to be outstanding in performance and broadcasting, being a part of a classic tonight, and being live on this air. How do you feel about that tonight? You get a chance to hear yourself for the first time.
Well, I feel happy, about that. It was good listening in to, you know, really hear from another point of view. It's different when you're inside of it, but it's different, you know, when you're outside listening in. So, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to be on the other side. Thank you for that.
Yes, indeed. And we got some other callers that want to be able to respond to this outstanding classic tonight. And we're going to go, I'm going to put you on mute for a second. I know you're traveling. But, of course, the second caller tonight, what more can you say tonight to this young lady?
Yo. This is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where a lot of the smart moms that I know got kicked out. from squatting in their dead grandmother's house, you know what I'm saying, for $4,700 of back tax, you know what I'm saying? But they got Jordans and iPhone 20s, you know? But check this out, you know what I mean? I wanted to speak on some of the misconceptions that people have as far as the economics in the inner cities and the urban areas, you know what I mean? Where people have the misconception that, you know, there's people getting swindled out of their homes. Well, that's not happening. What happened was, you know, all this recession and all this COVID-19, Corona-19 stuff, people weren't paying no bills, you hear me? You know what I mean? So the whole thing else of it is this. A lot of these contractors that's dropping these Legos in, you know, regentrifying the areas and all of that, you know what I mean? A lot of them, surprisingly, are people, niggas from the hood. You know what I'm saying? You contractors who've been doing construction for many years of their lives, and then they get first dibs on these vacant lots or these homes with these back taxes, and you know what they do? They knock them down, flatly, and then they drop these units in, four units, five units at a time, all one piece. Bang! You know what I'm saying? Airbnb, whatever B&B you want to put it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? OEBNB, you know what I'm saying? Cokie 900 B&B, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. Valentine B&B, whatever. Budweiser B&B, whatever your B&B in it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they doing out here. And like I said, people are thinking that it's the enemy that's buying up. A lot of them are melanated people who are from the hood, and they got first dibs on these properties. Where, and again, stop being bougie, people. You know what I'm saying? When there's vacancies and properties in the inner city parts of North Philadelphia, South Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, where you're being too bougie, you're allowing other people to redevelop the neighborhood, and then now you want to complain about it, talking about they taking all everything. Make your mind up. Either you want to live there or you don't want to live there. Either you want them to clean it up or you don't want them to clean it up. Which one you want? I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where if you got back tax on your crib, you better pay it because somebody might put a lien on your joint. Check your satellites.
Right now, he'll be on the 28th of this month, and outstanding. And, of course, Alicia Vaughn, you have any comments on what Clever One or one of our great hosts said tonight? No, she might be traveling, y'all, so, you know, it is what it is. And so great to have her being able to be part of the show anyway. So I'm going to let her go ahead, because I want her, you know, no crashes of the cars. So let's go into the callers. Caller, you're live right now with me, Olad Ski, and the original Beverly Nation Classic.
That's me right here, Brother Arquette.
Hey, Arquette, how are you, man?
All right, what's good? Chiming in, you know, another go-around. You know, as we spiral, continue to spiral and expand, you know. So, yeah, I'm hearing what's being talked about. A little coin I like to – excuse me.
It's all right.
A little additive I like to add to that stew right there is recognize the fact that we're our own corporation. We're our own structure. Being a physical – structure made of, you know, solid liquid gas, you know, all the properties, you know, we consolidated into one physical being, just like a building downtown, a skyscraper, whether it's Empire State or Liberty Place or whatever the case might be, it's a physical structure that stands erect above the ground, a tower's above the ground level. Now, real fast, just as a building downtown is a structure, it doesn't have life in it unless you have some type of business conducting through it. Same thing with us as a structure, a physical structure. You have many of us humans walking around, black in particular, male black in particular, American black male in particular times 10, just walking around as structures that's totally vacant on the inside. See, the difference is between us and the buildings downtown is just that we're organic. Those are in a fixed position, you know? So, but they're still made of the same things as us because we all come from out of the earth. All the elements and all physical buildings and everything, cars, you know, whatever, is all still within our bodies as humans. You know, so the point I'm making is recognize that the individual, self you, the inner you, which makes that building function properly, which keeps the maintenance, which keeps the income, which keeps, you know, the value of it just being a property of Earth, benefiting itself as it continues, you know. Don't want to get too far-fetched. It's not going to go across an intersection or a street without making sure I obey the traffic laws. But this is what I say to myself in my by myself meetings. I think we all have a by self meeting at one point or another. It's just the fact that we acknowledge on it, because it's beyond the words. This was something that was said, you know, we discussed these things in the past, you know, but it's beyond the words. It's actions now. 2023, you know, it's just a calendar. I mean, you know, it's a date. You know, it's a date. They got the barbecue ribs and the grill going. They got a date. You know, the time don't exist, only clocks do.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
It's time to recognize that.
You're a partner. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying that, you know, at these by ourselves means recognize the fact that, you know, we're the power centers. Each one of us, just, you know. I very doubtly that it's something that I'm going to say, or that even you may say, or the next person may say, that at some point in time we didn't think for ourselves or have that thought notion, you know. So it's just a matter of situation, and it's just a matter of the box that we place ourselves in. Because outside of that, all is one, all is self, all it is us. You know, it happens overnight. You know. Love connects. Love is the highest form of understanding. It connects. It's going to connect automatically. There's no thought, no thinking. That's where we get in trouble at. Thinking. Be, breathe, and exist.
And you know what? I love that. I love that. You know, what the man said is true. Just do. You know, if you know it's going to be positive, it's going to be a reaction for love, guidance, and security and existence. I love what that brother just said. We go now to our recent enshrined International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting person of interest tonight, Mr. Terrence Strith. Terrence, what do you have to say tonight?
How you guys doing this evening? I was definitely enjoying the show tonight. I had a question for Ms. Vaughn. And her steam.
I don't know why we have feedback. Okay, let me cut you off for a second. A little feedback. I don't know. You got to get off the speakerphone, whatever. But yeah, Alicia right now is driving, so we don't want to put her in harm's way. I'm going to stop talking because maybe the feedback, might, you know, whatever. But go ahead and express your question, and definitely we'll get back to her.
Okay. Is that better?
Check 1-2-1-2. Yeah, sounds better. I can't hear myself now. It's good. Go ahead, bro.
Okay, good. So what I wanted to say, and I know she's driving and everything, I have a background as a lender, and I was wondering how did they pick loan officers to work with in order to get these loans done when they were finding properties for people? Did they have any certain criteria that they used to pick about 2 or 3 loan officers that they were going to work with to get these loans done? And that's what I was going to ask about that, because, you know, that I know as a...
Great question.
Yeah, that the real estate agent is very important, building those relationships with those lenders that can get it done, but also who you get along with in terms of, you know, how they treat the customers and everything. So I was just curious about what were their processes in picking the loan officers to get these deals done.
Well, you know, enshrining, you know, that's a great question because a lot of times it's clouded in mystery. And that's sad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we want to build upon our communities. And, you know, like I always say, you know, in a month from now, you know, please call back in and ask that question because I think that's pertinent and important. Because a lot of times in our, you know, existence, Terrence, you know, we want to do better for our people. And not only is this for our people, for ourselves, you know, to get an opportunity to have generational wealth, own property, real estate, right? Real estate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the gentleman talked about people migrating to certain communities, and then Brother Clev said it best tonight. Because I saw all down Lancaster Avenue. You know, sometimes I travel. And I said, you know what? Let me just travel, not drive, but just travel to Trollins to go to my Aunt Ruth's house up in Haddington, right? Part of Lansdowne, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking, I said, oh, my God, these guys out here drinking coffee, you know, reading the paper on a loft at 41st and Lancaster. 5 years ago, that was dead waste badlands. Tear the community down and build these, you know, monstrosities to the tax, you know, existence of regular people. You know, when your taxes are $1,300 a month, there, so now they are $3,300 a month. $3,300 a year. And that's crazy because now it's like, wow, I got to make life decisions to see if I want to eat steak or hot dogs. And that's what's happening in our communities. People are just struggling to stay alive in their communities because of the taxes, because how they shift things. People are moving from Dallas to, you know, San Antonio. People are leaving California, my home state, you know, and moving to places like Wyoming. Hello, that's me, right? You know, because, you know, the taxes are lower and, you know, it's a better way to live. America is built on business, Terrence, period, point blank. So you have to be sharp enough to be able to exist, but not only just assist folks out there. Listen to that. Your existence is someone else's existence as well. Teach them well, and they can lead the way for our children to be able to advance. That's what I do for my son. He's doing a great job with that. None of y'all business. But however, not between me and my son, none of y'all business. But when it comes down to your family, that is your business. Make sure that you, you know, enhance your children to be great so your grandchildren can be great and we can get this generational wealth going. Dave Bidden does a great job with two hosts, right? E. Davis and Alicia Levon. So, and Shrani, thank you for calling in tonight. I really appreciate you.
No problem.
All right. That is the 2022 International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting and Shrani, Mr. Tara Strength. It is now in Gozy time, and of course, you know how I do. It's a celebration. Chichilla's next, y'all.
Pa bravo yo, yo que soy mulato oscuro, tengo la mente en mi sitio y estoy bueno de salud. Pa bravo yo, yo que tengo sentimiento, tengo sangre de africano y canto con gran virtud. la forma de herir mi sentimiento.
Wow, what a beautiful show tonight, Alicia, and, you know, everybody thought it was live show tonight, but it was from the archives, and it was absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And the music, of course, I was over here jamming and grooving because I love the salsa, so I was literally up off of my sofa dancing because it makes you move. I love it. So thank you, Brother O, for the wonderful music tonight, and to all the callers that called in tonight as well. And wow, what a show. And can't wait until your next show that we can hear you live again. And but this is why we have archives. And Brother O can pull one of the wonderful shows from the archives, which gives people a chance to hear a show that they have not heard before. And that's great. So just think of the people that heard it tonight, thought it was the first time that it was airing, but it was not. And they listened tonight, and it was beautiful. So thank you so much, Brother O, for that. And thank you, Alicia Levon. Boy, oh boy. So this is another Friday night, people. The week has gone by so fast. And the month is almost over. We only have about a week and a half or almost 2 weeks left in this year. And we'll be into a new year, into 2023. And 2022 will be over. So 2022... did you do what you said you were going to do? You know, that's just crazy. It's almost over. It's almost over. WBNN has advertising doing Engozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at @Engozi_time and Oladele Malewa Engozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.Engozi@my.com. For our mothers and fathers' favorite producer, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for our two-part series on News Forum. By 2022, WBNN Host of the Year, Dr. Chinchilla J, and that's me, by the way, this Sunday and Monday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. And the two-part series that we're going to be doing is on Mumia Abu-Jamal. And for those of you that don't know him, he is and was, well, was and still is behind bars right now. He's still a journalist, but he was a political activist, a strong activist against injustice in the city of Philadelphia and around this country. And right now he's a political prisoner and has been for 41 years for the murder of Officer Daniel Faulkner. And Mumia is innocent. He's innocent. I attended a court hearing today for him, and there was a rally and protest. I was marching in this protest and screaming to the top of my lungs from brick to brick, from wall to wall, free Mumia Abu-Jamal. And we know we yelled other stuff as well, and it was very invigorating, very inspiring. It was very energetic and energizing, and he needs to be free. So there are going to be a load of people tuning in Sunday night because they support him all over this world. They love him. And Professor Johanna Fernandez will be my guest on Sunday from New York, and she will be telling us all about his case and why he is innocent. And when you hear this evidence, you're going to be like, why is he behind bars? It's going to frustrate you just like it has me. So make sure you tune in Sunday night and Monday night for this two-part series. All right, now back to our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting lifetime achiever, Honey B. Olasky, and I say buenas noches.
Outstanding performances tonight. Thank you so much, Commissioner. And this is the first time in the history of our network that we have a two-part series back-to-back. This never has happened. And it is such, you know, outstanding wherewithal for our Commissioner. And understand this, guys. This show will be on remote on Sunday. We have two people that will be speaking, and it will be outstanding. And then Monday, we have a third person, and then we'll take our callers on Monday night. And so, and of course, this is the last Monday in this rotation that you will not hear Justice Morris Kemp. She'll be back next month in January 23 with GEMS, the original format. She will not be doing News Hour. She'll be going back to doing her interviews with outstanding people and starting her legacy again, what she did in 2021. That's amazing how time is flying. Isn't that crazy? You know, we talk about the 2021ers. We thank them. We have some outstanding 2022ers this year. You know, Moody Black, Mo Garman, Jeffrey Mr. Boston Sanders, and, of course, the 2022 Lenny New Host of the Year, Class 1. We're gone, y'all. Peace.